This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, I have a little mic problem here. It fell down. I've got to fix it. Okay, I'm just waiting for a call in from a wonderful couple, and I'm going to be talking to them in a little while about their book, a Nat Geo book. You know, I always get so very, very excited when I get a Nat Geo author on, because I love Nat Geo books. I was raised with those yellow magazines. They came to our house. I never forget it. When we were kids, it was such a thrill. It was actually the only magazine that we got. We didn't have very many books, but we had the subscription. Somehow they talked my dad into taking it, and because it was expensive even for us in those days, but we got that, and it was just always such a thrill when we got that magazine. And so I was raised with that magazine, and it was one of the reasons why I became a world traveler. I traveled all over the world, and it was because of those magazines that I read as a kid. And it's, and also I use them, I do watercolors, and so I use those, the photos from the magazine to, you know, copy and to do watercolors. So I, even right now, in my hallway, I have a particularly beautiful watercolor I did, and it was based on a photo from one of those magazines. So it's really always so thrilling for me when I get to help and support Nat Geo, particularly their Nat Geo kids books, because it is so important that children just, you open their minds to so many subjects. And with Nat Geo, you have all of these books that you can, on any subject you want, and whatever the children are interested in, you can find a book that will help them to learn, to open their eyes. And it can be a book about animals, which is what we're going to talk about today, but it can be also books about ballet, books about traveling. It's just wonderful. And I always tell everyone, I have officially made Thanksgiving a Nat Geo book giving day. Now, they have not yet adapted my program. I wish they would start putting out ads starting in September sometime that Thanksgiving Day is a Nat Geo day. And that's because I love Nat Geo books, and now I have I get two authors on today. it's so exciting. Hi. I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Beverly and Derek Joubert. Hi, how are you?
Hello, hi, how are you doing today?
Okay, well, it's
very nice to meet you.
It's such a thrill to talk to you. And of course, the new book is called The Ultimate Book of African Animals. Wow, you guys are amazing. You have to just share with us some of the excitement that you feel when you get to do a book like this, because you know it's going to go out there and it's going to influence so many people.
We truly hope it is going to influence and inspire many people. And somebody said to us today that it's probably a book that will get the attention of a 4-year-old up to an 80-year-old. So that is also good news. But it is a way for us to share our experiences over 40 years and use those sort of deep dive experiences to illuminate what is happening to these animals, to share their secrets. There's a lot of what we don't understand, a lot of interactions between, you know, different animals that people are totally unaware are happening. And we've been very fortunate to be in the right place at majority the right amount of time. I mean, we do miss a lot, but this book shows you what we've managed to capture.
And also, I think capturing the images in this book for Beverly is encapsulating or grabbing a moment in time and then sharing that with a great audience. And I think that's a real privilege.
Well, so tell us about yourselves. How did you start this wonderful, wonderful career of yours?
Well, it's quite simple. Beverly and I met in high school, and as soon as I was able, I captured her and removed her from the dating market. Took her out into the bush where there were no other male humans at all, and that just simplified my life. And so Beverly and I fell in love very, very young and developed this collaborative process of creating these books and films and talks, and we have never had an argument ever.
we learn from the animals. We learn how to roar at each other.
Well, your life is so, you know, it is really such a dream life for people. You know, that you always think about having an adventure, and you guys are living that adventure, and you've been living it for so long and doing so many exciting things. When you first realized that you were like going to be a real powerhouse in this business of making people aware of conservation and just opening eyes, that must have felt exciting to you.
A phase that you don't even realize is happening. We went out with the reasons of wanting to, first of all, gain knowledge ourselves so that we understood what was happening. And then by seeing unique situations happening in front of us, we started the film process, the film side and the photography. And so that was part of our toolkit. And then being able to speak out because we were truly committed in wanting to protect these areas, protect the animals, and be, conservationists. I think that's where we did get a voice, and we were heard. Once you understand that you've got that responsibility, it's a huge responsibility. You have to be authentic, truthful in every way, and the geographic stands, for truth and authenticity as well, and science that can be backed up. And that really has been our life work through 40 years. So that has been rewarding. But we can't stop. It's not that we say, oh, well, we've done it. There is success and we can move on. Because as we move one year after the other, we realize the policies that we might have managed to change. When new presidents come into play, those environmental policies might change. And so I think that is what is driving every single conservationist forward, every NGO that is speaking out for animals and the planet, is that we can't be complacent. We have to be active, and we have to be active right now.
I think there is a moment, as you rightly identify, and it's not about ego, but just every now and again we'll be somewhere, New York or, London, Tokyo, and somebody will just walk past and say, thank you. And then move on. And those are the real gratifying moments that you know that somebody's listening.
Well, I think your work is amazing. Now, I had really hoped to go to Africa next year because of another author that has been on my program, Peter Riva. And I really, because of him, I became very involved in his books, which are all about Africa. He's also somebody who loves Africa, has spent a lot of time there, and his books they're thrillers, but they're centered around Africa because that's where he loves to be and that's where he loves to go. And so I had really hoped that I would be able to go in 2022, but of course now with all the changes, I don't know, when it'll happen, because I have, outside of my front door, I have a 10-foot giraffe. Because I love giraffes, and every morning I say good morning to George, and he guards my front door. And so I wanted to really go to Africa. I wanted to see this and, to experience this feeling that you obviously, you guys share every day. What are your favorite animals? Do you each have a favorite that you you really sort of hone in on that you want to always watch?
We do, and sometimes it's rotating. It depends on what we're working on at the time. It's really hard. We've just been working on a cheetah film, and one of the female cheetahs, a female called Imani, which means faith in Maasai, had four tiny little cubs. We found them days into their life, and it was really hard not to fall in love with these little cheetahs. I obviously, you know, prefer the big lions or mainly elephants. But Beverly has a different cast of characters in her head.
Well, Derek is so right, though. Those little cheetah cubs are absolutely beautiful. And as any cat can be, is very curious. And so we were watching them get up to mischief and in dangerous situations all the time. But the film is really a story of hope, because we only have less than 7,000 cheetahs in Africa, and so we're hoping that the film is going to help us protect cheetahs for the future. But my favorite big cat is a leopard, has been a leopard for a long time because of also being on a film, shooting a film for 3.5 years, and then going back and actually doing a book on her, and then going back and doing another film on her called Living with Big Cats. And it's this little leopard that we fell in love with. We found her when she was 8 days old and stayed with her for 3.5 years. And then, as I say, we kept going back. So we also understood that leopards were in danger, as cheetahs are and as lions are. And in a 50-year period, we've lost 95% of them. So that's when we started the Big Cat Initiative at National Geographic. And the Big Cat Initiative is really an emergency intervention to protect them, to take action, and to work with grantees in the field. So we give money to the grantees in the field so that they can be successful in their projects, working with communities and protecting, lions, leopards, and cheetahs, and the environment.
What percentage did you say have been lost?
95% in a 50-year period. So if you look at lions were 450,000 50 years ago and have gone down to 20,000, less than 20,000. Cheetahs went down from 50 down to less than 7,000. And leopards were faring a little better at that time, 700,000, and they have plummeted to 50,000. But leopards are hard to count. Leopards are elusive. They're not in price. And so often we're not really aware of how many leopards are in the forest. And their survival is to be ghost-like in so many ways.
But also, Patsy, because of your book skills, you must know the book Tall Blondes by Lynn Shearer.
Yes.
And if you haven't read it recently, it's worthwhile, about those giraffes that you so like.
Yes. Oh, it's heartbreaking. I can't even go with the elephants, because the thought of people killing elephants, the thought of the poachers killing these animals, I start crying. It just overwhelms me when I think of it.
Well, the thing that you can hang on to is hope. There's something very, very drastic about the ivory trade, and rhinos even worse, actually. Here are these very, very docile animals that just happen to be cursed with a horn on the front of them. And they've been slaughtered at an unbelievable rate. Last year, I think they were being killed at a rhino every 6 hours, 7 hours, for nothing, just for that horn that has really got the same consistency as your fingernails. So there's a madness about this. But the hope to hang on to is in that next generation. The kids that this book is targeting is our hope. And in many ways, what those kids represent in our hearts and souls. So do we want to hand on a planet that is wrecked and shredded, turned into rhino horn or ivory carvings on mantelpieces, to the next generation? And I think that is a burden that I know that I can't bear.
Well, that's really what needs to propel us all forward. And I think that is what has propelled Derek and I, our whole filming career, is to create change immediately. Because if we allow areas to be wiped out, if we allow animals to go extinct, it's almost impossible to bring them back. And during the pandemic, we created Project Ranger. And Project Ranger is how could we keep those men and women in the field that were the frontline workers of protecting these beautiful, vast, pristine areas. And that's, we thought it would be a sort of 12-month venture in raising funds to support them. But of course, as we know, that now is going into 24 months. And I suspect it will continue because poaching is was there before the pandemic, and poaching has continued through the pandemic, and it will continue after. So we've got to change the situation. We've got to also stop the trade and hopefully get people that are buying animals for medicinal purpose so that they understand they're wasting their money and they are moving an animal to extinction.
Well, we have to, somehow, it seems to me, we have to do something to shame these people. These people, they are evil, and they should be so ashamed to do this. This is ridiculous. And, I mean, scientifically, they have to know this is ridiculous. They're not stupid people who have the money to buy I don't know. Sometimes I get so upset when I think about it. How can they do that? How can they be so cruel? And how can they be so thoughtless and so stupid? I mean, really, we have to shame these people. I would put their pictures up on television and say, this is an idiot. This is an idiot. This is an idiot. This is an idiot. I mean,
we are getting there. You know, I think that if you have a look at the Cecil the Lion story a couple of years ago, and actually another one killed a couple of weeks ago in Zimbabwe, the world is rallying behind us, and we take great encouragement from that. I think that it's going to become more and more difficult to get away with things like this.
Well, I hope that perhaps this book will help, as you said, to influence the next generation. But we have to influence the next generation, not just here in America. We have to get them all over the world, children all over the world, understanding, the beauties of these animals. And, of course, you, with your work, you bring this out so spectacularly. It's just, the new book is fantastic. It's called The Ultimate Book of African Animals. And your names are Derek, D-E-R-E-C-K, and Beverly Joubert. And, wow.
That's correct.
So where, of course, I love Nat Geo Kids' website. That's a wonderful website. Where else can they see more about this book?
I believe that's going to be the main area. And then, of course, on the nationalgeographic.com. But I think the great thing about the book is that National Geographic are committed to get a magazine and books and films around the globe. So they will be able to get, I suspect they'll be able to get the book in their country, don't you?
Yeah, everywhere, bookstores, online, everywhere.
Right.
And the best places to go is to that National Geographic website.
Yes.
And what about following you? Are you on Facebook?
We are on Facebook. It'll be Derek and Beverly Joubert, or you can just put in the last lines and you'll get to our Facebook page. And then we both have Instagrams. So mine, again, it's just going to be our names. You get the right spelling of our names. We also have a website that is wildlifefilms.co, so just .co, and that's where you can follow what we're doing in all our film work and all our book work. And then all our conservation work is either between two organizations, National Geographic, which is the Big Cat Initiative, so that's an easy one to find. And then Great Plains Foundation, which National Geographic is also involved in, and that's greatplainsfoundation.org. And you'll even be able to see the Rhino Project that is at the back of the book, Rana Rescue, that we got involved in. And that is because, as Derek said, rhinos were being exterminated for their horn, and we just felt that we had to move rhinos into a safer area.
Okay, well, I always recommend Nat Geo books, especially Nat Geo Kids books, for every occasion. And if you have, if any of you have a child in your life, get this book. They will love it. They will have the wonderful thing about Nat Geo books, they give so many hours of pleasure. You know, you can give it to a kid, and they you know, that's a nice quiet time for the adult if they want some quiet time, because the kids can get lost in it. And I was saying earlier in the program that I learned to draw animals, and I learned to do watercolors by using Nat Geo photographs as a kid. That's what I looked at. So it's just a wonderful, you are really doing marvelous work, and I just am so thrilled to talk to you. I hope maybe one day in, you know, a few years from now, I will be able to come to Africa and we can meet up there.
Well, please stay in contact and reach out. We're in between Botswana and Kenya, and we would love to meet you in either place.
Well, I would love to meet you both, Derek and Beverly Joubert, and it's spelled J-O-U-B-E-R-T. And the new book, The Ultimate Book of African Animals, is available online on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and everywhere books are sold. It's a terrific book. And again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. Okay. Ooh, they just cut us off. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. Let's go ahead and do Devon Miller's Book Buzz, and then commercials, and I'll be right back with a very, very happy author. I think one of the happiest authors in the world.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Talk Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. Something that I loved to go to every year in elementary school was the book fair they would have in the school's library. And I know so many other children were excited to go just like me. Another child who was excited about their school's book fair was Layla King, the main character from the book Layla and the Missing Dimes, written by Chastity Williams and illustrated by Whimsical Designs by CJ. Layla and the Missing Dimes is a story that promotes friendship, truth, and honesty, and it's dedicated to the author's daughter, Layla Chase Diane King, who passed away. In Layla and the Missing Dimes, third grader Layla King is excited to go to the book fair knowing exactly what she wants, but when she goes to pay for her item, she notices that she's short of a dime, and it makes you wonder, where could it be? When going to the book fair myself, it was always scary going to the register wondering if I had enough to buy the items I wanted, but thankfully, I was always glad to know that I could take home the books I wanted and read them again and again and again. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I'm just waiting for my next guest. Okay, we're going to wait for her. Well, I don't know. She was supposed to call right away, so let's go ahead. You know, while I'm waiting, I was in a mood today. I woke up, and I thought, well, you know, I need to listen to my playlist, and one of the songs on my playlist is this song, which I love, and so I think we're going to go ahead and play it, because it always puts me in a good mood.
Been stowed away on this boxcar for quite some time. We plan to ride it all the way from Maine to Anaheim. But things change and people do too. My company's gone. I could choose to step off and make my way back home, or I could choose to keep moving on. My time is coming gone. Maybe I'll stay my welcome, but I've outgrown this boxcar and I'm headed down the
I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Zakiya Delilah Harris. Hi.
Hi, this is the operator. She's going to be announced in just a moment, okay? So just to stay on the line, it'll be just a moment, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to wait for her because, well, this is an interesting story. I will tell you something. Yeah, this is a really, for all of you people out there who dream of writing, I can tell you this is, you know, sometimes, yes, people have big dreams, and writers and everyone who starts writing a book always has big dreams and big hopes. And, of course, it doesn't matter, you know, writing a book is part of, is one of the joys of life. It truly is. So, you know, if you sell, that's great. If you don't sell, you know, a lot of books, you still have that joy of having written a book. But of course, everybody dreams about actually selling lots of books. And I have some authors, you know, who have really made it big. But this next author, this is an interesting story. And the most important thing, I think, is that, well, she got one of these blurbs from somebody that I admire so much. I was so thrilled when I read. I was so thrilled by the blurb. I thought, "Whoa, to get a blurb like that is amazing." And you know, these books. Sometimes you have these instant best-selling books, and so it's really exciting when you get to talk to the author who wrote it. And then, you know, so I'm just waiting for that. I was, of course, playing Haley Woolbright's Boxcar, which I love that song, by the way. And Haley Woolbright, of course, was on Joy on Paper, and I had the opportunity not just to have her on the program, but also introduce her to Lang Martin Jr., and she went to Nashville and met with him, and now she's doing some more songs and getting some more gigs, and I am really hoping that one day Haley Woolbright will be walking down the red carpet at the Grammy Awards, because I think she's a terrific, terrific singer, and her songs are very meaningful. I like songs that also have a great deal of meaning in them, and so I'm really always thrilled when I get to play her song and help her promote her song. So you can always check her out, and this particular song is called Boxcar, and I think it's a real winner, and she's been getting a lot of notice for it. And now I get to turn to my guest, and I would say perhaps one of the happiest young women in the world. And this is really a thrill. Zakiya Dalila Harris. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Okay. Well, as I was telling my listeners, you have to be one of the 10 happiest women in the world at this point in your life. Are you? Are you just like... Are you overwhelmed?
I am feeling all of the emotions.
Well, I have to tell my listeners, her book came out, and it's an instant bestseller. I always love to have authors on who have instant bestsellers, especially when it's their debut novel. I mean, it's the first book they've got published, and it's an instant bestseller. And, of course, the name of the book is The Other Black Girl. And it was so highly anticipated, and it's been written about, and everybody was so excited about it. And I'll tell you, but the thing that most impressed me, and this is because you got a blurb from somebody I admire so much, and I have been trying so hard to get him to come on the program because he is so terrific. But when I read that Walter Mosley, who is a mystery writer of America Grandmaster and the author of Devil in a Blue Dress, you know, I've been reading him since I was very young, and I just have always admired him so much. I've tried to get him on the program, but he writes about you. He says, witty, inventive, and smart. And I thought, if I wrote a book, if he would just even, you know, open the cover, I would be thrilled. But to get him to write that, that he wrote it, and he also says you're a little bit sly. Whoa! Isn't it terrific?
It's out of this world. I mean, for what he means, what he has done for, oh my goodness. I mean, yeah, the genre, the mystery genre for black writers, for just black people in a space that doesn't have many black writers. Even today, it's not great, the numbers. And so for him to have taken the time to read this book and then write a blurb, like, oh my God, I still can't believe it. Hearing you say that got me excited all over again.
I know, and it's a big, big, long blurb. I love that one. When the blurbs will be, one, 10 words or something. But, I mean, he writes a blurb. When he writes a blurb, he would write a great one. So I thought, yeah. Oh my gosh, as I said, I love him. I've always loved his work, and really, I have been trying to get him on because I've had 11 Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters on the program, and so he's my goal. I mean, he's like the gold standard to me. So here we are, and you have an instant bestseller. And I have to tell them, this program I always announce, it's a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And, of course, all writers dream about getting that book deal, finding an agent, first of all, getting a book deal, and then getting auctioned to 14 houses. I mean, did you and your agent, well, you got an agent, obviously.
It's also hearing you say this is it's wild. I mean, especially because I did work in book publishing before, and at a different house, of course, than the one who published my book. But I kind of had very measured expectations and hopes, and I definitely went in thinking, you know what, like even the best books. Like I remember reading so many good books and editorial that we couldn't buy for various reasons that didn't necessarily have to do with the quality of the book itself. So I knew the odds were, you just never know. And so to get this kind of feedback, and not just feedback in the kind of general sense, but specifically like this book reflects so many things that we see wrong with our company or with our imprint, like across the board and in so many different houses. That just meant a lot to me as well.
Wow, it is. It is so exciting. And I, they're writing about it. So I will say to people, she got a 7-figure deal. It just tickled me. I thought, this is fantastic. This is amazing. And then I thought, well, she worked for a publishing house. Woo! And I mean, I realize that obviously you would know that the odds are against you because it's not easy.
Right.
It's not easy to get.
It's not easy. There are a lot of steps. And even though, I definitely had a leg up because I just knew what all the steps were and I knew what was important to me, which was first and foremost finding an agent who saw the work for what I was trying to do with it and who I would grow with. And that can be hard to do, I think, for any writer. It's a really big decision that could really affect a lot of things afterwards. So I feel so lucky to have found my agent, Stephanie Delman, and to have gotten someone from the get-go who really believed in my voice, because that's, I think, one of the most important things, especially as a debut author, to keep in mind, of like keeping your integrity, you know?
Well, I can add her to the list of happy women. Happy women right now. agents, this doesn't happen. This is also a dream for an agent because, it's a dream for the author, but boy, for an agent to get, an overnight best-selling author in with this, whoa, it's exciting. It's exciting. So I just wanted to compliment you on that. And then sort of ask you, as you said, you worked for another publishing house for 3 years. Do any of those people still talk to you?
Yes, they do. I actually am in touch with a lot of, a couple of my work wives from publishing. And then I also got, I recently saw one of my old bosses a few weeks ago. So, it's been interesting because we also submitted the book to where I worked, and it was really surreal going back to like the office that I had worked at a year earlier to talk about my book. But ultimately, the feedback has been, at least the feedback I've heard, has been good.
Well, I'm sure they're thrilled. Actually, we have to sort of lay the groundwork here. This book is about a girl who works in a publishing house. And sort of, let's say, dishes the dirt in many ways. And it's very difficult to sort of put this, this is one of the things they say when you're writing a book. Make sure you have your genre correct. Don't mess around with it. Don't do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little, but you did it all. You sort of went completely bonkers over it. You did. I'm going to have a little bit of this. I'm going to have a little bit of terror, horror, sci-fi. What didn't you put in this book? And it all worked.
Thank you. That was one of the things that was really tough too when I was first finding an agent, because how do you market a book? Part of what pitching a book in publishing, just when you're working on the book in editorial, but then when you write a book, it's distilling the book to its most basic building blocks. And there is a lot of building blocks in this book of the element of Nella trying to find her way as a black woman in this mostly white space. But then also I wanted to entertain and make the readers laugh and make the readers also question their own kind of complicity, both white and black readers and all readers. So trying to juggle all of those balls definitely took a lot of editing, and I was very nervous early on about it. And I still, I know not everyone is into the genre bents of it, but ultimately I just felt like in order to tell this full story of the struggle, but also what's at stake, I felt like I needed to really have some horror and some tension and suspense, but also have a little comedy.
Yeah, you do. You do have a little bit. And, there are times when I was laughing and then times when I am horrified. And we have to tell everyone that, of course, the main character is Nella, and she's working in an office. And I always love office stories. I just like that, you know, the milieu. I like the what's going on in that office and who knows who and who's doing what. And so I always enjoy those kind of books. And so she's the only black woman in the company, and which is called Wagner Publishing. And a new black girl arrives, and sort of things go topsy-turvy from there, let's put it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is put beautifully.
and in unexpected ways. And the thing is, I hope that you, out of all of this, that you see the absolute joy of being a writer and being able to, you know, carry something off like this. And I think, you know, it does open people's eyes. And of course, we want to make sure that, you know, things are more diverse out there, that things open up. That's one of the things that I do a lot here. I've opened up the program as much as I can. You know, I don't care. I never look, other than the fact that it was titled The Other Black Girl, I probably wouldn't have known, because I don't look at the photographs of the people before I read the book. I don't read the blurbs. Mm-hmm. If I get a book with a cover, I take the cover off, I read the book, because I never want to be influenced. That's what I discovered when I first started the program. I wanted to make sure that I didn't go into it influenced by anything. And so that's what I do. I don't know anything, you know, except after a while when the authors keep coming back, you know, when they've been back a dozen times, I know them. But
Yeah. But
the first time I get a book, I never look at the picture. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that it's a handsome guy writing the book, and I might be influenced by that. it would have happened. Like if I had read, it was funny, C.J. Box, who is a man who wears a cowboy hat, and I love men in cowboy hats. Actually, when I got the book, I thought it was written by a girl who was hiding, you know, behind an initial.
So
I didn't know. And then when I went back and looked at the cover and I saw, this is one hunky cowboy, I would have read this book, you know, just for his picture. So, you know, I learned that early on. And so that's why I think we really have to get to that point that we, it's so silly. It's so silly today. I find this whole thing so silly, because when you look, if you take a group of babies and you put a whole bunch of babies on the floor, all different colors, they're all beautiful. And you don't think about anything but the absolute beauty of the child. Of the baby, you know, laughing and giggling. And that's what we have to get to the point. And if it helps, this book helps people to think, okay, well, there are these microaggressions that when you write about them, we sort of notice them. That's good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. No, I really appreciate that. And that's something I agree with. I while writing Nella, I mentioned earlier I wanted to have these comedic moments. I really wanted to show, you know, Wagner is so oppressive and annoying and frustrating for Nella, but I also wanted to show her living her life and having a nice time outside of work, you know, like showing her as a full person and showing also what's at stake for her when it comes to being realized as a human, as an individual with autonomy. And showing both of those things it just felt so important, and I do hope that, you know, this will make all of us view the world and just view conversations that we're having about diversity and inclusivity, you know, just view them more clearly and have more honest discussions.
Exactly, and I think you've done a from that point of view of sort of opening people's eyes, people who are not aware of that, you know, they go through life without sort of thinking about, most people go through life without thinking too much anyway, but to sort of hone in on the little things that are annoying, that people might not think are annoying, but they are. And you want to make sure that, you know, we all start to understand each other. And it's so silly to have all these racial problems. We've got bigger problems in the world. You know, we've got horrendous problems. And we could all be so happy if we could just get over some of this stuff. And, you know, I hope that perhaps you're, certainly it's opened up, I think, the idea to publishing companies, which, of course, everybody has, whatever company, it doesn't matter, publishing or anything. And that's what I love, that companies are getting more diverse all the time. And if your book helps to pave the way for women to realize that they can be strong and get it. And then I think about you. Getting an overnight bestseller, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, I think, you know, who do you thank the most for this? Your family, who got you writing at a young age or something?
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely goes back to my family. I grew up, luckily, my dad was a writer, and so, in a journalism professor, so I saw what a career for a writer could look like. So that, for me as a young person, was just really crucial. I mean, I definitely, as I got older, saw that it was not that easy, and I had this path of, you know, figuring out what I was going to do, and if publishing was the thing, but when I quit my job in publishing, my parents were both really excited for me because they knew how much this meant to me, and to have that kind of support when doing something that's really dangerous, like I didn't have health insurance and all that stuff, that was everything for me.
Well, you are never going to have to worry about that again, I can tell you. Oh, I should mention, in addition to, you know, 14 major publishers fighting over you, Good Morning America, Esquire, and Read with Marie Claire, Book Club Pick, People Best Book of the Summer. I mean, all sorts of wonderful things. And you have like a 10-page list of blurbs from people. But I still think that Walter Mosley is the best. I mean, that is the very, very best.
And it's amazing.
And I am so thrilled for you. I think it's wonderful. And it's just, you know, this is the story of success and determination, and just, you know, being determined to write, because writing is a lonely thing and you have to really want to do it, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing, I think, investing in yourself. If that's the one piece of advice I could give, I'd say invest in yourself. And that means different things for different people, like in terms of like obligations, but yeah, put yourself in your story as first as you possibly can.
That's it. Well, I think you've done a wonderful job. And again, I know that you're going to be out there and you're going to be talking to people, and you're going to be out there talking about race, because this book is very sensitive about race. But just tell people, find some joy in your life and don't make other people miserable. Don't make other people, you know, uncomfortable. Just if we could just really, really start to appreciate each other as human beings, things could be so much better in this world.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, do you have a website? Where do you want people to go? Where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me on ZakiaDalilaHarris.com. So my full name, and I'm also on Instagram under ZakiaDalilaHarris, and that's ZakiaDalilaHarris. And I'm also on Twitter, @Zakia_Harris.
Well, I love the name Zakia. Who gave you that name? Your parents?
Yeah, yeah. It's Swahili for intelligent.
Well, obviously they got that right.
A high bar.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm Patsy with a Z, so I'm very fond of names that have Z's in it. So Zakia is the beautiful name. And boy, intelligent is right. And happy. You should be filled with so much joy and just keep spreading it around and stay happy and write. I'm looking forward to your next book. Okay. I think we dropped. This is, what is this today? Ed, they drop off these. These operators drop me off. I said, so boring, Zakia. Anyway, interesting book. And I tell you, this is also an example of, look, she worked for 3 years in a company, and then she wrote a book based on that 3 years experience. And she did a heck of a job. You never know. Sometimes you'll have a job and you'll say, oh, this is a horrible job. I hate this job. I'm in this job. Well, who knows? You know, a few years from now, you'll say, you know, I could turn all those funny things that happened to me in my job into a book. Remember what Lee Child said when he was on the program. Lee Child took his experiences. He was 39 years old when he was fired from his job. And they fired him. And they were really rude to him. He was in Granada Television in England, where I was living at the time, he was fired. I mean, in a really bad, nasty firing. You know, sometimes you can be sort of let go, and then sometimes you can be just walked in the office and said, you're fired. That happened to him. He got angry, and what did he do? He wrote a book where all of the Jack Reacher bashes heads in. And why does Jack Reacher bash people's heads in? Because that's what Lee Child wanted to do to the board of directors of Granada Television. So this, you know, this is one of the things you never know. Everything is a learning experience. Wow, it's been an exciting day. But I don't know why this drop call. Well, I don't know, because the microphone also dropped, and Ed has to come in and fix it before the next program. Anyway, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry and her Witch City Mysteries. And you never know, and you won't unless you start writing. So make sure you just get in the mood, get yourself organized, and you don't even need a computer. You can do it. Just take a legal pad and what the heck, start writing. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. Okay, and he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him because I really should have been a general. I'd have been such a good general. Believe me, I would have been better than a lot of generals that I've been thinking about today. Anyway, everybody, take care and be safe. Bye-bye.